This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Well, we are getting close to wrapping up the post-election day show, and I am ready for a nap and just some time on the couch tonight. One of my favorite new radio friends, and maybe friend in real life, is Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com. I've read his stuff for years, and he's started contributing, and he knocked it out of the park late as we wrapped up our coverage last night, and he's going on less sleep than I am. Dwayne, how are you this afternoon?
I am running on pure adrenaline still. I'm doing great, Mark. Great to have you here. So my last 36 hours-ish, I got up from the day before show. Remember, I work overnights on the West Coast by the time Hughes show is on morning drive on the East Coast. And so I went to bed, got up at about 10 o'clock in the morning yesterday because my phone was going off like crazy. And, you know, the election was coming in. And I was just as curious as everybody, so I was wired and wide awake. So from 10 o'clock yesterday morning, I didn't get to bed again until about noon today, my time on the West Coast, and I've had about a 2.5 hour nap, and here I am. And after that, I might get another 2 hour nap, and then hopefully by the time
it's all worth it, right? Absolutely. Look, I it was funny that you say all that because I got to sleep, I think 2:30, woke up at 7. I heard my daughter. I had fallen asleep downstairs, and then once I started thinking about what happened, I'm like, I got to turn on the MSNBC and CNNs in particular because I wanted to see what their reaction was. But this probably wasn't healthy, Dwayne. I sat in my kitchen, really standing in my kitchen in my living room this morning for 3 hours, just basically looking at Twitter, looking at numbers, tweeting out, being snarky, all of these things, and having a lot of hope for the future. And one of the things I addressed earlier on the show, and I can't remember if I said this to you last night, but for me, this is really serious. And maybe this is just a small part of what's happening right now. But I've talked in the past about, the Sesquicentennial Centennial in 2026. We're going to celebrate the 250th birthday of this great country. I was alive for the, I think you were too, for the Bicentennial in 1976. It was an amazing celebration of America. I was very concerned about having a Kamala Harris or a Joe Biden or someone like that running that celebration in a couple of years. So maybe this is a small aspect of this presidential election, but that's pretty important for me as someone who loves this country.
Oh, it's not something to be overlooked. That conversation is actually already being had online as well. That people said, people were talking about this online. Even Hugh responded to it and said that, the sesquicentennial thing is going to be glorious now because you at least know that the organization to it and the promotion of it is going to be something very wholesome and patriotic. We're not going to get some, cross-dressing something, in charge of this and running the entire operation through a DEI office.
I want you to talk about, because you brought his name up last night, and his name has been mentioned a lot more since then, Scott Pressler. Explain to my audience who Scott Pressler is and how he was an absolute rock star hero in all of this.
Scott Pressler is a young man who is an Eagle Scout. So, I mean, he's a very clean-cut kid, long, flowing black hair, and he decided to just take it upon himself to start this grassroots organization to mobilize a GOP vote. He knew years ago that Pennsylvania was going to be the bellwether state. It was going to be ground zero when it came to this election cycle. The last couple, Pennsylvania has been one of the points of contention. And so he moved to Pennsylvania and started in the collar counties and in the rural communities north and a little bit west of Philadelphia, and just decided, I'm going to go around this state single-handedly and do what I can to generate enthusiasm and support and register people to vote. He went and talked to the Amish community.
Yes.
He talked to Democrats. He talked to labor. He literally was a one-man turnout machine. And the amount of I don't know if we actually have an actual total, but the number of people that he personally evangelized into the Republican Party and got them turned out to vote is in the tens of thousands, 50,000, 100,000. It was a ton of people that this guy did, and it's nothing short of heroic. This guy just, what can one patriot do when they decide they want to make a difference, and just basically took a year off from life to go spend time in a swing state and just roll up your sleeves and knock on doors and have the conversation and talk to people. That's what Scott Pressler did, and his contributions are almost beyond measure.
They really are, and that's why I wanted to highlight that. And there's a guy that most people had no idea who he was, and he's a big part of all this. Let's get your opinion on our friends in the legacy media on the other side. Dwayne?
I've got to say, this is the biggest red wave I've seen since Ronald Reagan's 49-state victory in 1984.
The inevitability of this actually looks as if it was there.
This was a sweeping victory, and he comes back to Washington, Michael, more powerful than when he was here before.
Scarborough is my favorite because he acted this morning as if he was a completely different person, which he does on a regular basis, but they're so embarrassing, and I still don't think they get how this was a rejection of the Fourth Estate as well.
Well, and see, they can't bring themselves to do that because they have to hold on to their phony baloney gigs. The Scarborough thing was just grand between he and Mika Brzezinski. I mean, I remember late last week, Mika Brzezinski was nearly in tears, screaming into the camera, angry that women are dying. Women are physically dying right now, and they will continue to die if Donald Trump wins because of the abortion issue. I mean, it was just so hyperbolic off the charts. And now all of a sudden today, Joe is trying to act like he's been this neutral observer all the time. But the guests that he brings in, he brought in Alex Thompson of Axios. And Alex Thompson starts doing this screed, and everybody pigpiled on about how angry they are at Joe Biden for taking this long to realize that he wasn't up to the job. And why it was Joe Biden's fault that hamstrung Kamala Harris because they didn't give her enough time to introduce herself to the American people. It was too big of an adjustment too late in the season, and he should have known better. And I'm looking around at the ghost people that you would look around to trying to is he out of his mind? Who does he think he's kidding? Kamala Harris was the key enabler in Joe Biden not being up to this job for the last 4 years. She was the one that was lying to you and gaslighting every single
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. And that's still...
And they're
still
off the hook, and they're trying to lay it off on Biden.
Yeah, I still have no hope that any of this will actually be examined by anyone in the legacy media, for sure. What about the congressional makeup? Look, a couple of things were shocking. The popular vote total, I think it's good because that's going to make things potentially less divisive and reduce riots and things like that. We're not seeing any violence. That's very positive. But I don't think a lot of us thought going into the day, maybe you did, Dwayne Patterson, Team Positivity, that we'd have all three branches of the federal government. That's I think the House is still relatively close, but the Senate looks great right now.
The Senate looks really good right now. We're sitting on 52. They haven't called Pennsylvania yet for God knows why. I don't know why.
You mean
they
on McCormick, right? They called it for Trump, but they haven't called it on McCormick, you mean?
Right.
Yeah,
Dave McCormick is going to win that race. He's up by, 40,000 votes, something like that. And there's still only just a handful of votes left to count. And Bob Casey would have to sweep the remaining to make up the deficit. So he's going to win. He's going to be 53. And you look at Sam Brown in Nevada, and he keeps hanging on.
Yeah, he's hanging on right now. Yeah. Carrie Lake looks like she's not going to win, though, right?
Well, here's the thing we don't know. The part about Nevada is there's still roughly a third of the votes out there to cast.
Most of Pima is in, from what we can tell. That's Tucson, Democratic stronghold. Most of Maricopa is in, that we can tell. There may be some little pockets, but most of Maricopa is in. That's Phoenix. So that's the two Democratic pockets. There's still a ton of vote out there. And right now, it's like a, it's like an R plus 3.5, 4 with a third of the vote left to go. And we think the final tally is going to be to the right of that once more of the rurals come in. And that should be more Carrie Lake votes. I don't know if she's got enough to make up the, you know, 12,000, 13,000, 14,000 vote spread she needs to make up. But it could get close before it's done. But I kind of agree with your assessment. I think that's kind of wishful thinking. But hey, if we get 53, 54 out of the night when we were thinking we were going to get 2 at best, hey, I'll take that night.
Yeah, I thought Hovde was going to be dragged across the line in Wisconsin, but it doesn't look good there. And Mike Rogers, I guess, lost in Michigan as well. What would you say, Dwayne, about this today? Letitia James, AG, New York.
So despite what has happened on the national stage, we will continue to stand tall in the face of injustice, revenge, or retribution.
There's so much irony in that, isn't there? They don't even hear what they're saying, do they?
Yeah. What do you want to bet when Donald Trump takes office? She kind of quietly blends back into the background again. Jack Smith is. There wasn't a 180, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. There's so many dynamics of all this, and I still have not, because we're sleep deprived, begun to wrap my head around all of it. I'll ask this one final question: who you got for the cabinet right now? Any names?
I don't have any hard. Believe it or not, I don't have any hard.
Well, that's it's kind of early. I just thought I'd ask though.
But what I can tell you is the transition team is already in place, and actually they were already working as of yesterday. Donald Trump, the one thing you got to say about him is he is acting thus far like he is not going to waste one day of this new term, and he can't. He's got a 2-year window. He and the Republicans that come in, especially in the Senate, they have to show a bunch of positive movement that this country is going to be happy with. They've got to show more of a positive right track, wrong track number, because if they don't in 2 years, the Senate's going to go right back upside down
right.
again. And he's going to be hamstrung.
Look, that's my hope.
Got to move.
I really think it. I think they're going to move. And I think and we've talked about this many times in the last couple of weeks, including today, Elon and the whole team.
I can't wait for Elon in there. That's just going to be spectacular.
Trump talked. It was great because I'm sure you were up watching the speech, but Trump talked about it. There are opportunities to really get things done for the American people. Go figure. How about that? Isn't that a novel idea? Dwayne, you've been awesome. Thank you so much. Get some damn sleep, dude.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You too, buddy.
Oh,
and
hopefully we'll
talk under the new term and keep this friendship going.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Enjoy the week and the celebration. We're coming back with Audio Cut of the Day. I got Claire McCaskill crying on MSNBC. This will be glorious. Coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.